Turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew now. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 5. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. You can find that on Pew Bible 959. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Last week we turned the corner into the home stretch of this sermon series on resisting gossip, which I hope you've found to be helpful. I think I've changed my mind. Am I allowed to do that? And I have one more message to give you on the topic before we lay it to rest. Pray for me this week as I think about giving one more message on gossip and the church, specifically gossip and the church, next Sunday. Last week we began to think about being the target of gossip. What should you do if you are caught in the crosshairs of gossip yourself? How do we respond to gossip? Not just how do we resist it when we feel like sharing it or receiving it, but how do we respond when we are in the crosshairs? We're the target of sinful gossip. Last week we talked about responding in faith. The bottom line was that we should trust God with our reputations. A reputation is a good thing. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. But we cannot control our reputations, and we need to entrust them to God. Now that doesn't make it easy. It's still really hard to be gossiped about, and the Bible does not minimize that pain in any way. But we learned last week from Psalm 140 to take it to the Lord, to leave it with the Lord, to cry out to Him for justice, and to believe that He will answer. When gossiped about, we should trust God with our reputations. But what about the other people involved? How should we relate to them? We talked about us and God. Now, us and other people. How do we respond to those who've gossiped about us? And the answer that our Lord Jesus gives can be summed up in just one word, love. Responding to gossip in love. Have you found Matthew 5, 43 through 48? This paragraph is part of our Lord's teaching in what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. And at this point in the sermon, the Lord Jesus has been masterfully correcting misunderstandings about the law of God and setting forth not just His own correct interpretations of the law, but also His own divine statements of the law, what we might call the law of Christ. He has said six times, you can count them, in Matthew 5, something like, "You have heard it said, but I tell you something different." The Lord Jesus is setting forth His own authoritative teaching. And it's very different from what they had heard. It's very different from what we hear in our culture. It's very different from what other religions say. It's very different from even what our own instincts might lead us to do. Well, our paragraph for today is the last of those six. And it's a correction of what the rabbis had been teaching about Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember how we just studied that last month? And not just a correction, but a new dimension added to that law. Here's what our Lord Jesus says. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for your holy, inspired, and errant word. Thank you. It's a real gift to know your mind. You could be worthy of all of our praise and be silent just from making this amazing world. But you didn't stay silent. You're not a silent God. You're a speaking God. You talk to us. And you've told us things that are right here, translated in English for us to get, to hear from you. I pray, Father, you would speak to each of our hearts as we consider your word. It's not always the word we want to hear, but it's always the word we need to hear. So make us attentive, Lord, and submissive to your word. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who spoke this word. Amen. If someone has sinfully gossiped about you, then they are acting like your enemy. Now, they may not be your enemy in any legal sense. They may be your friend. They may be even your closest friend. But at that moment when they were bearing bad news, behind your back, out of a bad heart, they were acting like your enemy. And our Lord Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now that was different from what the people had commonly heard. Look at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The rabbis had taken Leviticus 19:18, which says, love your neighbor as yourself, and assumed that that must mean love your neighbor, your countrymen, your brethren, your fellow Israelites, and of course that means hate your enemy. But the Mosaic law does not say anywhere to hate your enemy as a law. And the Lord Jesus not only corrects that misunderstanding, but adds a new dimension. Verse 44, but I tell you, and who is He to issue commands like this? You see where Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God here just by saying, I tell you, He's saying on His own authority, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Now that doesn't mean you have to like them. Think about the last person that gossiped about you, that you know of. Of course, again, most of the time we don't even know when people are gossiping about us. We can't control it. We often don't even have a clue that it's going on. It's just a fact of life. I'm so glad that my God knows everything because I cannot. But think about that last person who you know gossiped about you. Jesus is calling you to love them. Not love in the touchy-feely, warm-fuzzy kind of love. You don't have to feel like Kurt and Steph feel about each other after yesterday's wedding, or as Holly and Cody feel about each other as they look forward to this Saturday. No. Affection we don't have to have. But love in that actively seeking someone's good kind of love. Because love in the Bible is primarily a verb, not a feeling. It's a seeking the good of another. It involves the heart, but it's not the same thing as liking someone. Love your enemy. Do 1 Corinthians 13 on your enemy. Remember when we memorized that as a church family? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not just for our friends, but for our enemies. And when we do that, number one, we show the family resemblance. Look down at verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now we know from what the Lord Jesus says elsewhere that you can't become a son of God by being good. You cannot earn your way into sonship. We become sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But we can grow into our sonship by acting more and more like our new relationship with God. So in a sense, we can become sons of our Father in heaven by imitating Him. And when we do that, we demonstrate that we are His children. Every once in a while, somebody remarks that I look a little like my father. Bald is beautiful, you know. My dad and I say that God only made a few perfect heads, and on the rest He put hair. I'm glad that I look like my dad, because we're related to one another in a special relationship. Jesus is saying that if we love our enemies, then we're showing our family resemblance because we're acting like our heavenly dad. Verse 45. He, that is, our heavenly dad, causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves His enemies. He shows love to His enemies. Be like Him. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Don't even the drug pushers do that? Don't even the scum of the earth scratch the backs of those who scratch theirs? That's not being like God. That's just being normal. Quid pro quo. Verse 47. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? No, Jesus' followers are called to show the family resemblance and actively love even our enemies. Now, what does that look like, practically speaking, in terms of being gossiped about? I'm glad you asked. Loving your enemies looks differently in different situations. Loving your enemies looks differently in different situations. It just does. There is no one-size-fits-all for loving your enemies. It depends on a lot of factors. For example, what is your basic relationship with this enemy? And what kind of gossip was it? Remember we talked about different kinds of gossip a few weeks ago? There's a big difference between some idle chat about you shared by people you don't know and a malicious betrayal by a best friend, isn't there? Those are very different situations. So we're going to need some discernment here. Biblical wisdom dug out by mining the Bible, right? Dig in, dig in, dig in, like you're digging for gold. And biblical wisdom from the Holy Spirit given as a gift as a result of prayer. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. A few months ago, someone out of love informed me that someone else had been gossiping about me. And I hardly knew that other person. So you know what? Loving that person who acted like my enemy doesn't really change a thing for me. I'm maybe a little more wary of that person than I had been. And the Bible tells us to be wary of our enemies. Jesus said to beware of men, so that's okay. But I'm still supposed to love them. Let me suggest four ways to love your enemy when they have gossiped about you. We're going to call them A, B, C, and D. So if you're taking an outline today, we've seen point one, there's going to be A, B, C, and D, then we'll have two and three. Okay, you with me? Here's letter A. It comes right out of verse 44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray. Let's talk about praying for enemies. If you find out someone has gossiped about you, then pray for them. Have you ever done that? It's not easy to do. At least not right away, is it? They've hurt you. They've talked about you behind your back. And you didn't find out from them. I mean, it's not so bad if they say, you know, I was sorry, I was talking about you, please forgive me. But you find out from somebody else. Pray for them. Before you talk to your enemy, talk to God about your enemy. Pray for blessing on them. Pray for God's conviction on them. Many people have prayed for someone instead of confronting them, only to find that person being repentant without ever being spoken to. God loves to do that. Pray for them. And pray for yourself that you would have wisdom to know how to relate to them. I suggest Philippians 1, 9 through 11 is a great scriptural prayer for smart love. It says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Pray that for yourself when you found out that you are in the crosshairs of gossip. Letter B, overlook. Listen to Proverbs 19:11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. I would say that 90% of the times when we're gossiped about, the right thing to do is to just overlook it. I think it was Anita told me about Larry, this isn't gossip, that Larry says, well, at least they aren't talking At least they aren't talking about someone else. They might as well talk about me. At least they're not talking about someone else. That's a kind of overlooking. Now, overlooking depends on a lot of things, like what kind of gossip it is. Was the gossip a lie being told about you, or was it the truth? Was the gossip a secret that you had asked someone to keep, but they spilled the beans? Was the gossip just people sharing their bad opinions about you? In many situations, you can just overlook it and act as though it did not happen. And that's love for that person. It is to your glory to overlook an offense. Now, that assumes that you can just go on relating to the person the same way as you always did. Overlooking is a kind of one-sided forgiveness. That's what I did for that person I heard about a few months ago. It's not hard to overlook it. I trust God with my reputation and then just overlook the offense. Now, that doesn't minimize the pain. It still hurts. But it just absorbs the pain and moves on in love. Now, of course, we can't always do that. So another way to love our enemies is to lovingly confront them with their sin. Letter C, confront. And this is especially the case if they are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Is my alphabet off, or are we together? Are we okay? A, B, and C. Is this C? All right, good. I'm glad you're with me. I'm glad I'm with me. Confront. This is especially the case if you are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. Now again, this is confronting in love. Love your enemies. Love doesn't just sweep things under the rug. It also goes to the person who's acting like an enemy and shows them their fault so that the relationship can be restored. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over, it says. Now, one of the frustrating things about this series is that I can't use very many personal illustrations because I want to protect those I'm talking about. I've promised not to gossip about people while preaching on gossip. So I can't tell you the details of this story, but one time I was gossiped about, and I felt that I had to go to that person who was spreading the bad news about me and confront them. And they agreed with me when I did, and they asked for my forgiveness. And our brotherhood was restored and even improved. Praise God. Sometimes people will repent and you can forgive them and be reconciled. Now other times they won't repent. And you'll need to be patient and forbear with them and hope for their repentance and lean towards forgiveness and release bitterness, hoping to be eventually reconciled. Lovingly confront. Now before you go confronting someone about gossiping against you, there's some things to consider. One is to consider whether or not the gossip about you is true. And to consider if there's anything you can learn from their behind-the-back criticism of you once you hear it. Maybe they shouldn't be sharing it, but could you be learning from it anyway? Loving our enemies sometimes means learning, even from our enemies. Now that takes humility, but humility is Christ-like too. Is there some truth in the stories going around about you? Often we just get all defensive, right? Get our dukes up. But this says, the Bible says, consider the criticism that comes. Is there something that I can learn from it? Make sure that you don't prove them right by the way that you then live. The Apostle Peter put it this way, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Well, some might because they're wicked. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear, do not be frightened, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Before you confront someone about their slander of you, make sure the story that's going around is not true. Live with a clear conscience so that they will eventually be ashamed of what they said. Live it down. Live down the bad reputation. Of course, that brings up the question of whether or not to defend yourself at all. We heard last week a story of someone who decided to stop trying to defend themselves around town when they were being slandered. And that's wise, because you and I can't pick up all those feathers spread by the wind either. But there may be times to defend yourself and your reputation. In the fall, we're going to read the book of Acts. And we'll see that sometimes Peter and Paul and the other apostles defend their actions, and sometimes they don't. So sometimes it's good to do a limited amount of defending, if it might help others. And other times it's best to just let it go. The Lord will direct our steps as we trust in Him. If the gossip about you is untrue, and it's because you're following the Lord Jesus, then the Bible says we should actually rejoice. Jesus says in the same chapter of Matthew 5, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So rejoice and be glad and love your enemies. Whether or not they ever repent, we need to love our enemies. And that means, letter D, to repay evil with good. I think that the Apostle Peter was meditating on Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 when he wrote 1 Peter 3. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to read a large section. It's on Pew Bible page 1202. But then we'll be returning to Matthew 5. Peter has been preparing his people for persecution because suffering is normal for Christ followers until Jesus returns. And he says this in chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Listen. "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble like your heavenly Father. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For," and now he quotes Psalm 34, "whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So the point here is that Jesus' followers are to love their enemies by doing good to those who do them evil. That's how we roll. Okay? That's how the church rolls. Okay? When we are beaten, we bless back. Now this might seem crazy, but that's how we are called to live as Christians. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, we are fools for Christ. We seem weird to the world. When we're cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we're slandered, we answer kindly. That's how we live. If someone gossips about us, we don't gossip about them back. We seek their good. Have you ever seen anyone act like that? It's awesome to see. The person who responds with love for their enemy begins to look just like Jesus. Because that's how Jesus loved us, isn't it? While we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us. If someone has gossiped about you, make sure that your basic stance is for them. You are for them. Now, that doesn't mean to not be wary of them. It doesn't mean to trust them in the same way that you did before. But it does mean to want what's best for them, even at a personal cost. Do good towards them, and you might win them back. But even if you don't, you're showing the family resemblance. Because God sends His rain on the good and the evil. He also sends abundant sunshine on the good and the evil, and no rain at times. He is good to those who hate Him. And we could be too. Repay evil with good. Now catch this. We do all of this loving our enemies for, number two, great reward. Love your enemies to enjoy great reward. Now that's only hinted at in Matthew 5. Luke 6 spells it out even more, and I think that 1 Peter 3 illustrates it the best. Matthew 5 says, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get?" Well, what's the answer to that? Nothing, right? That's just normal. But what is he hinting at? If you love your enemies, you will get rewarded. If you love that person who gossiped about you, then God will reward you. Now, Jesus spells it out more clearly in Luke 6 in what we call the Sermon on the Plain. He says, "Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." And here's how 1 Peter 3 says it. Some of you are still looking at it. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. You want to inherit a blessing? Return good for evil. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For, listen, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their prayer. That's what I want. I want that eyes of the Lord on me. I want His ears attentive to my prayers. That's like the definition of blessing, isn't it? And it comes with loving our enemies. Do you want the eyes of the Lord on you? Do you want His ears tuned to your prayers? Love those who gossip about you. Now again, that doesn't make it easy. Being gossiped about is suffering. It is painful. Jesus knows that. He had it worse than anyone. Jesus never deserved any of the gossip and the slander about Him. But they called Him a bastard. And they called Him a son of the devil. And they called Him a partner of Satan. He knows how hard it is. But He loved His enemies. And He calls us to do the same. Number three and last. Love your enemies to be holy and perfect. Matthew 5:48 ends that whole section of the Sermon on the Mount and that call to love our enemies by saying simply, be perfect therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I think He's echoing Leviticus 19 again, because He's talking about Leviticus 19 where it says, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be perfect therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, how does that make you feel? On the one hand, it's great to know what God wants, isn't it? This is what we are supposed to do. Hard or not, we know what God wants. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I don't know about you, but that drives me to despair. I can't do that. I know I can't do that. I can't love my enemies perfectly. I've been gossiped about, for goodness sakes. I have not always responded in love. And I'll fail next time. Or at some point, I'm sure. You know, I think Jesus wants us to feel that despair. Because He wants us to not only see the gold standard, but also to be driven by this to the Savior. To feel our need for salvation. To feel our need for forgiveness because of what He would do on the cross on our behalf. To feel our need for Him. To feel our need for the empowerment of His Holy Spirit to help us to love our enemies. We cannot do this on our own. But Jesus did it perfectly and gives us His perfect record on our account if we belong to Him. And then gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to do it better and better as we trust in Him and Him alone. If you are not yet a faith follower of Jesus Christ, you can't do this, though you should. You can't love your enemy, not really, not perfectly. Turn from your sins and trust in the Savior. He'll forgive you and give you new life. Don't try to do this on your own power. You just can't. None of us can, not even the Christ followers. But we can do it in His power. Because He is perfect and gives us His perfection and His power through the Holy Spirit of God, we can be holy and perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect.